morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. Mr. John McKay, how you doing over there?
Well, you know, you're not going to be happy with me, but I've been wishing for snow.
John, we had enough. We already had it, right?
No.
There can't be more.
No.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, you might be wishing for it, but last week felt like summer.
I know.
I mean,
50.
Oh, man, there were some nice days out there. We're still cranking out amazing real estate and real estate photos with
even in the rain with
the good weather. Yeah, even in the rain, I can touch up the gray skies and on the computer a little
bit. Oh, and we're getting reports the Kenmore elf has been spotted.
The Kenmore elf has been spotted. Yes, we've been having a little fun with our latest campaign around the office for sure.
And it's really funny.
He even got a hold of my truck the other day, which I saw. There was I was not in the initial meeting for that, and look what happened. So no, we're having a good time with that for sure. We're all about spreading a little bit of holiday cheer, getting some real estate marketing done at the same time. So we're absolutely Elf on a Shelf Kenmore Team Edition is on our Facebook page or Instagram Reels. Check it out for sure. Well, we always like to start off with the crazy celebrity real estate story.
Mm-hmm.
And this week's, which the market is a little bit more used to in certain areas, but this involves a major life change. This week, the most expensive house for sale in the U.S. just got a $55 million haircut, as we call it in the business, or price cut. So it's a trophy home built in 1937 in Los Angeles. But get this. I mean, it's right in the Los Angeles Bel Air enclave. So it's, I mean, just right in the middle of everything. It sits above the Bel Air Country Club, which you can imagine. And it is also on 8 acres.
Ooh.
In that area. It's called Casa Encantada, and it was earlier this year we had it on as the celebrity real estate story because it was listed for the market high $250 million.
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously there were no takers at that situation,
yeah.
And it has been reduced to 195. But listen to the heritage of this story. It was built in 1937. For Hilda Weber, who was the widow of a glass manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, the house was in 1950 sold to the hotel magnate Conrad Hilton.
Okay.
For $225,000, which now it's $225 million, but
wow.
Whatever. Following Hilton's death in 1979, it changed hands again to billionaire businessman, the Murdoch family, David Murdoch. And that in 79 was for $12.4 million. Then it was sold to telecommunications financier Gary Winnick for $94 million in 2000. And then what happened is Winnick, he died earlier this month at the age of 76. He had not wanted to sell the property for a penny less than $250 million.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently his wife has other plans now that he's passed away. And
yeah.
So she has lowered the price, like I said, a crazy price drop. It is an iconic, beautiful property, but it'll be interesting to see. Even if it sells at the $195 million, it might be the most expensive listing right now, but it won't be the most expensive sale because there was a penthouse in New York on Billionaires Row that sold in 2019 for $240
million. Wow.
Yeah, so absolutely some insane LA real estate. So as I was researching for the show and as I was doing some work earlier on some of our own Zillow listings and just making sure things were updated online, I came across a great headline, and that is at the end of the year, we're starting to get these top 10 lists, these most viewed lists, most popular top votes for 2023. Well, they had the most popular Zillow listing in every state. So they ranked their listings throughout the year by what had the most saves and the most views. So Washington's, interestingly enough, Washington's most saved, most popular listing was in Yelm, Washington.
Interesting.
It was a 2-bed, 1-bath for $249,000. So like a little cabin, and it sat right on the Deschutes River.
Oh.
So the first thing that comes to mind when you have to click into it, you're like, that's a really low price for even like a cabin type feel property.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons it had the most views was obviously price. But when you click in it, it had a very unusual ownership arrangement. They were selling the house with what's called a life estate. So you pay the $249,000, but you don't get to move into the house. The current owner gets to maintain possession of the house until they pass away.
Oh,
so you might pay $249,000 for the house, but you have no idea when you're going to actually take possession of that house because the owner has what's called a life estate. So, you know, what would be some reasonings for that? Maybe the owner needed the money for some medical bills or wanted to cash out the equity ahead of time. But anyway, so the price and the location and some beautiful pictures of the Deschutes River made that the number one listing in Washington.
Wow.
So I thought I would take a peek at our neighbors. And I went over to Idaho to see what that listing looked at. Mm-hmm. So Parma, Idaho, there was a 4-bedroom, 4-bath house, 3,400 square feet, newer construction, swimming pool. But get this, it was an absolute playground for motocross obsessed and racing. It had a full motocross. The the owner's family members were actually like motocross racers. So it had 3 shops on the property. And when I say shops, you might as well have had another house. These things were gorgeous. So it had a full motocross track, a separate BMX track, BMX ramp, sand volleyball, and a man-made wakeboard trick lake.
Wow.
That had one of the cable pulley systems on it. So you didn't even have to have a boat out there to go out there and go wakeboarding. So obviously this was not $249,000.
No.
That was and sold for this last year for $3,271,000. Crazy price, but I got to tell you, the pictures and the, I mean, it looked like, I don't even know, it looked like an amusement park for adults. I mean, on there with, it had a go-kart track, it had the racing, it had the shops, it had video games. I mean, it was just extremely over the top in a very awesome way. So that is
sounds like
the most viewed listing, and I see why, the most viewed listing in Idaho. So interesting what gets people's attention and clicks and listing views like that. Washington and Idaho, two very, very different situations there. So, John, this is the time of year. We just wrapped this up with our real estate team. It's a very important part of our business.
Mm-hmm.
And that is budget forecasting and goal setting. And so this time of year, I always like to go over and go through a little bit like, what does that process look like? And I think it's an integral part of planning in the real estate business, both for agents and team members, and then obviously, especially business owners in that situation. Yeah. And so we try to have the majority of that wrapped up by Thanksgiving. There's always a little bit carry over the last week where we had some reviews and employee reviews and budgeting that goes along with that. But we've wrapped this up on our team. But for those that haven't, I always like to give on the show, whether it's in your business or in your personal life, a little bit of background on what that looks like with that goal setting process. And it's interesting because, you know, we had added some agents to the team this last year. And you kind of get into that realm where, if this is the first time you've heard this part of the show for us, you get into that realm of where if you haven't done this every single year, there's a skill to it and a process that we go through. Yeah. And it's amazing when someone's not used to what that looks like and you go through and say, okay, here's the situation. Here's what helps make that goal achievable. I always like to start off with a little bit of research and what that looks like on the goal setting side. So there was a new survey out updated by Forbes Health and One Poll that was done in October of this year. And I always like from year to year to see some of the differences with New Year's resolutions and goals. And so there were some interesting findings for resolutions and what that looks like. So 62% of people in the poll say they feel pressured to set a New Year's resolution.
Oh.
I'm part of the problem, McKay. This show today is adding to it. I listened to that Lance Kenmore guy on the real estate show. Now I feel pressured to do it. But 62% say they feel pressured. Now, overall, it's always fun to look at what the top goals are in the U.S. And I think based upon the amount of ads you've been seeing delivered to your phone, commercials that you've seen on TV, I think you can get it. So, McKay, what do you think the most popular goals were for 2024 that people indicated they're about to set?
For a business or individuals?
Let's go personal from this poll.
Personal. Yeah. I'm going to say make more money.
You absolutely nailed it. Number two, 38% of people had improved finances on the goals there. What else you got for me over there?
Weight loss.
Yeah, you nailed it. That was number four on the list. With 34% of respondents saying they wanted to have lost weight. And then really, you got one more that goes along with that same category?
More time with family.
Okay, so it's interesting because that one wasn't on there.
Oh.
Still on the top, the number one that came in, and this goes along with weight loss. I think when I say it, you're going to be like, oh, yeah. But 48%, the number one, regardless of weight loss, had improved fitness.
Oh.
And so that's a big one that's on there. And then this one, you know, I think might be, I don't want to say it's generational, but I feel like it is somewhat generational, and I'm not an expert, so that's hard for me to say. But the third most popular one was improved mental health.
Ooh,
yeah,
that's probably a new one.
36% came on the survey with improved mental health.
I'm going to say over the last few years, that's a new addition to the list.
Yeah, because there was, even when you and I go back, you know, and look at the previous shows in the last like 5 years, that used to not show up in the top five of that situation. So yeah. Obviously a lot more awareness with that. Now, it was interesting. I kind of got a kick out of this one because I had seen a comedian talk about this. But less popular resolutions included, I don't understand this one, but less popular resolutions, traveling more only came in at 6%. But I had to chuckle a little bit. Meditating regularly came in at 5% because I was like, who has time for that?
Yeah.
and I know there's massive benefits to it, but yeah, but meditating regularly came up. And then I had to laugh a little bit too. That drinking less alcohol only came in at 3%. So people aren't too excited about, even though I know there's a lot of people that go into the Dry January and the Hard 75 program at the beginning of the year. And I'll talk a little bit about that because I've been through those programs before and do find great benefit in it. So that kind of rounds out like the top five for what those goals are. And I think you'll see I think if you haven't already, you start to see this time of year, yeah, your TikToks, your Facebooks, your TV ads, as those start to get delivered to you, you see more, you know, kind of aimed and targeted at those items.
If I see another ad about Peloton.
Oh, yeah, they are hitting it hard.
Yeah.
Absolutely hitting it super, super.
Come on, Peloton.
Super, super hard. Yeah, they're trying. I think they're trying to. I think they're trying to combat their whole Dana White debacle that they had with a certain member of the UFC. So that's a side note. Look it up if you need to. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there is a lot of those ads out there. So one of the things we were trained, luckily, very, very early in our career about the power and the mindset of writing goals down.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a bunch of famous studies out there that go all the way back to the Harvard Business School. And you can go back and you can read some of these studies. But there was a graduation, there was a graduating class one year. And what they ended up doing is they went through and they polled that class to see what the results were. And they found that even at a school like Harvard, 84% of the entire class that they surveyed had set no goals at all.
Mm.
13% of the class had set written goals but did not make any concrete plans to follow through with them.
Hmm.
Now, 3% of the class, and here's the kicker, had both written goals and concrete plans. So what's very, very interesting is this is they went back, and when they went back and looked at that 10 years later, the 13% of the class that had set written goals but had not created plans were making twice as much money as mm-hmm. the other 84% of the class that had set no goals at all.
Yep.
So within a 10-year time period in that plan, twice as much money. But the real kicker is the 3% that had both written goals and a plan were making 10 times as much as the rest of the 97% of the class.
It just goes to show you.
And there's been a lot of scientific studies about the actual handwritten goal as you write down, even if it's as simple as a target of, you know, save 3% more money. If you have that written down, and then more importantly, you stick that in front of you on a magnet on your refrigerator where you see it every day, mm-hmm. you know, you've now set a goal and a target written down. The actual chemistry of your brain changes to help you meet those obligations. So we have definitely coached and followed that plan tremendously within our team. And for us, it's very important. The way we coach and set up with our team members, if anybody has any questions about this, they can go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot me a message. I'd be glad to help. But we really break it down into, when you look at your life and goal setting, New Year's resolutions, we break it down into five categories where people can set these goals. And so the first one is what we call personal, mental, and spiritual. So within that realm, what could be a goal that you could set within that realm? Sometimes I will tell you, when we're coaching team members and stuff, that is probably, I stuck it as number one because that's probably the hardest category for people to set goals in. And so mm-hmm. you really have to kind of come up with some, you know, what we call KPIs, key performance indicators. And
yeah.
And people always say, well, Lance, how can you KPI my spirituality? You know, like yeah. you can't, how can you tell me at the end I'm more spiritual? Well, it's really not so much that metric as it might be, if we dig down deeper into it, a metric that got there. How often did you read from a book that you wanted to? How often did you meditate? That, so there are some KPIs that we can put into the process that makes a big difference. The second one McKay brought up, and this is awesome because it just speaks to that it's super high on your value list, and is the second one is family. And so you yeah. put spending more time with family. And so for a lot of folks that we coach with, we're a very family oriented company. That comes into play a lot. The third thing, category that we have, it's a big, big portion of our company and what we do, and that's educational. And that's, so that can be everything from changing laws to sales or marketing techniques within the industry. especially in real estate books, podcasts. There is a ton of material that can go into the educational.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth one, we do put it down there because I think it makes a huge, huge difference, and that is physical, and that encompasses the health category. So the physical, the health category, we agree, obviously, those polls and stats, a lot of people are focused on that. I get into cycles of that myself, and that's, I can tell you 100% that's on my list for next year.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last part, which we said rounded out, you know, with a 38% of respondents saying financial. So that financial category is the fifth category that we round out goal setting. If you're setting 1 to 2 very good goals in those categories, it can dramatically change your year in 2024.
Yeah, absolutely.
When we come back from the break, I'm going to talk about what makes those goals a good goal and the differences between achieving those or doing what 25% of Americans do in the first month, and that is giving up on that. We're going to give you a hack when we come back to prevent that from happening.
Right here on News Talk 87.
Our house in the middle of
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been going through our annual goal setting show, just mm-hmm. as kind of a template for people and how we do things. A lot of times people will ask us, hey, you know, what's the difference in, you know, your team? And I know there's a lot of agents out there and you guys seem to consistently be making a certain number of sales, and what does that look like? And a big picture for us, as simple as it can sound in a 30-minute radio show, I know it's mm-hmm. much harder when you apply it throughout the year, but with some discipline, as simple as it sounds, a very beginning starting point is as simple as going through and setting what we call SMART goals.
Yes.
There's been a lot of studies that have been done, and even with New Year's resolutions, for instance, Statistic Brain had a study out, a website, and they had put out a study on this. And, you know, between the different studies we've seen by Forbes and this website, basically between 50 to 60% of Americans usually make goals or New Year's resolutions at the beginning of the year. However, at the end of the first week,
mm-hmm.
only 75% of people have made it through. I mean, that's like 25% have failed. Only 71% made it past 2 weeks. And only 64% made it past 1 month.
Mm.
So, I mean, when you look at that and you say, gosh, if only half of America is setting goals, and maybe they're not even written down, but we're talking roughly, you know, you get 180 million people setting goals.
Mm-hmm.
That means that 170 million of them are giving up at some point. And that's a huge number. So, you know, we talk about a couple things that can make a big difference on the team when it comes to goal setting like that. And the first thing that we enter into and we go over with people is what we call a SMART goal.
Mm.
And so we're using SMART as an acronym for that. And if you apply that to each goal, it makes a big difference. And so the S is specific. So, for instance, we talked about the easy one is with, you know, weight loss or health or fitness. But like if the goal cannot be to be healthier.
Yeah.
You need to break that down to like how many healthy meals will I eat, you know, during the week, or how many meals with X number of carbs will I eat? And you set those targets. So making it very, very specific, and not just like, I want to improve my fitness routine. You know, it could be, you know, needs to be broken down to something like, I want to walk 3 miles 4 days a week. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, you know, very specific like that.
January, always busier at the gym.
Yes, January, you are
and
going.
I'm having to dodge my way around, and I say this nicely, the newbies.
The newbies,
the
yes.
People that sit there and do one set, and then they spend a minute and a half looking at their phone,
yeah.
And then they do a set, and I'm like...
Let's go, people.
Hello, people.
I've been here all year.
Yeah.
So, yep. No,
or you. Can I borrow all of your plates? I don't have enough for the leg sled.
You nailed it. So the second thing, the M in SMART goals, is measurable. So not, McKay, you just talked about plates, like not run faster or lift more. It comes down to how much more.
Yes.
Can you make that goal measurable? You know, not like I want to increase my real estate knowledge. You know, I want to go to 2 sales specific conferences out of town in 2024. And so just making sure that it is measurable. And here's where people end up having, you know, a hard time with some of these goals, especially that category we talked about. Personal, mental, spiritual. You know, they want to say like, I want to increase mental health and, you know, and have better mental awareness. Well, that is not extremely measurable. But what you can do in that category is you could say, you know, I want to use the Mindspace app to meditate for 10 minutes a day.
Yeah.
Now you've got a measurable instance to put into that category.
Tangible.
And the third thing is it attainable? You really have to look at that goals. And, you know, we're not trying to squash dreams here.
No.
But if you see McKay on my goal sheet to join the NHL... unless it's to be a business advisor, if I say player, I want you to say, Lance, I don't think it's attainable.
Slow your roll.
Okay, exactly. So you have to look at that and see, can it be done? Because what happens if it's not in that case, the reason why so many give up in these situations that we talked about is they're setting a goal that might not be attainable. It's really difficult to go from 0 to 100.
Yes.
Most people are not built for that type of situation. So
no.
is it attainable? And then the fourth thing, which is similar, but I feel like has some intricacies that are different, and the R in SMART is it realistic? Mm-hmm. So it might be attainable, but your time frame that you know what you have there or how big of a change, it might not be realistic.
Yeah.
So you could say, you know, for instance, I want to make $300,000 next year. And you only made $30,000 the year before. So, you know, if you're in sales or running your own business or whatever the case may be, but you might say, yeah, you can make $300,000. I think that's realistic, but not next year.
Yeah.
You know, so looking at what is realistic, what is someone else before you accomplished in that sense.
Yeah.
And then the last thing that we throw down, which also gets missed a lot, is a timeline. When will this goal be accomplished by? As human beings, we found again and again, I can't stress enough, writing down, having a deadline. Mm-hmm. How many people, everybody, you know, numerous people have either had kids or been around kids. And if you tell them to clean their room and don't give them a deadline, the likelihood of that getting done is not very good. So,
no.
So adding a timeline, that's the T. So the SMART and the goals, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timeline. We not only approach our business like that, we like to approach our clients and helping them reach their real estate goals with the same process. It really infuses into the differentiating factor for one of the things that makes our team great. So we like to sit down with a client at the same time and say, what are your goals? You know, is it to buy a new house or it's to sell this house? If it's to buy a new house, when is that, you know, what's measurable, you know, on this, you know, what's the timeline? When do you want to have the new house closed and purchased by? So what does that look like? And then is this attainable and realistic? How do we solve that? We get you to a lender and then they take a look at your finances and get you a pre-approval letter and decide if it's attainable and realistic. So we're not only applying that to our individual businesses and our agents and our employees, we're also applying that to the real estate process. We believe that will set you up for a massive amount of success in 2024. Mm-hmm. I really, really believe in this process a lot. We've done it for, you know, 20 some odd years with many of our team members, and we've had some great results with that. If you have any questions about what that looks like I said, I absolutely love this topic. I should probably split it into two shows. And so feel free to reach out if you needed to spitball any ideas or go back and forth with your team with what that looks like. Go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot me a message. But we will be right back here next week trying to make your 2024 New Year's resolutions and goals come to fruition.
Right here on News Talk 870.